Hey there, this is Get Legit Law and Shit, and I'm Emily D. Baker, badass lawyer for online business. I've been a licensed attorney for over 15 years, and I'm a former prosecutor. So yeah, I know some shit, and we're gonna talk about the legal shit you need to know. But don't worry, this is not another boring business podcast. So let's get started. Well, the last few episodes, we went a little bit back in time to dive into the LuLaRoe lawsuits and what's going on with them now. But now we're back to the future. Let's talk about the state of California and the new law that was codified at the end of September, AB 5. If you haven't heard of AB 5, it's fine. Stay put. We're going to talk about AB 5, why it's some, well, I think parts of it are some bullshit, and what it means for YouTube creators. The reason I am attacking AB 5 in this way is because there is so much in the codification that is AB 5. It is kind of a mess, as a lot of laws in California end up being, where they are meandering, they affect a lot of different industries, and they're kind of messy. So we're going to just pick one industry to talk about. There are other implications of AB 5, and we are going to talk about those down the road. Today, we are going to just talk about what the law is in general, how it applies, why you need to care, even if you're not in California, and how it applies to creatives, and what my concerns are going forward with laws like this that are so broad. The news in California is saying that AB 5 is killing the gig economy. It is the Uber law because it really strikes at the way Uber drivers relate to the company. I say it screws over creatives as well. A little background. So California's Supreme Court in the Dynamax decision decided that California was going to apply a new test to determine whether someone was an independent contractor or not. So if you have a business, independent contractors is something you're probably familiar with. Sometimes they're called 1099 because they get paid under tax form 1099 instead of form W-2, which is reserved for a typical employee. A hired on-staff employee gets paid W-2. An independent contractor gets paid 1099. So they're often talked about by the form under which they're paid. Dynamax decided that, well, Dynamax didn't decide. The Supreme Court decided in the Dynamax decision that California was going to start applying a different test than the one that the IRS uses, and that is the ABC test. There are numerous states that already apply the ABC test, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Connecticut. What that tells me is that we're probably going to see similar things happening in other large states, New York being one of them. I imagine other East Coast states, and you're going to get some of the bigger states on the West Coast as well. I imagine that some of the states in the middle of the country that have largely courted big corporate headquarters might continue using the test that they have. Like, I can't imagine this happening in Texas, for instance, that has such a booming kind of entrepreneurial gig economy going, because I think people would just riot. California. Now, when that decision came out, that becomes the law in California, and then the legislature and the governor codified it into law, which means they wrote it into a bill, and that bill, AB 5, modifies the labor code so that this, starting January, is now in effect. Though it's something that people have been getting prepared for because we all knew the Dynamax decision happened. So when people in the news are freaking out like, companies aren't ready. Look, y'all, you knew this was coming with Dynamax. You knew the test had changed. You knew the Supreme Court wasn't playing. And you knew the state eventually was going to say, you can't classify everyone as independent contractors. Now, I'm also a little bit cynical. So I think that the state probably loves the fact that they're going to increase what they're bringing in payroll taxes and unemployment taxes. All of the fees that go on to your W-2 paycheck, all the fees that go to the state from both you and the employer, it's going to be a significant increase for them. I understand that the argument also is, but employers can't abuse workers. And if workers are truly improperly classified, it really does damage the employee. They are not eligible for health insurance. They don't have the same benefits. They don't have retirement. I understand all of that. And yes, if you are a 40-hour a week, 9-to-5 employee as a company, you should be an employee. But if you are side hustling, super part-timing, working for multiple different kind of gig jobs, you should be allowed to choose to do that, in my opinion. If you are an employee, you're an employee. If you really, truly want to be an independent contractor, you should be. And then you file your taxes as such, or you form your own company. And let's be honest, the U.S. is set up that wealth inures towards corporate formations. The tax benefits to being a corporation are so much better than if you're just a W-2 employee. So there are a lot of valid reasons that you might want to be an independent contractor, including that you like actually are an independent contractor. Valid. So let's talk about this ABC test. First, A, the person, meaning the contractor, is free from the control and direction of the hiring entity in connection with the performance of the work, both under the contract for the performance of the work and in fact. So it doesn't just say that the person hiring you is not in control. They actually have to not be in control. This is very much like when I, in my business, you know, badass lawyer for online businesses, when I hire someone to create a website for me, hello, Samantha Munoz. When I hire someone to create a website for me, I am not a web designer. I don't know how to do it. I'm not going to tell her to do it. I'm like, hey, tell me what you need from me. Tell me how much it's going to cost and tell me what your timeline is. And I'll tell you if I like it. That's an appropriate relationship. Sam and I are both businesses, so it's also a business-to-business relationship. But if we weren't, if we were both just, you know, self-employed, not a corporate entity of any kind, it would still be appropriate because I'm not controlling the way she does it. Just girl, do your thing. B, the person performs work that is outside the usual course of the hiring entity's business. Me, legal consultant, you, web designer, outside the usual course. C, the person is customarily engaged in an independently established trade, occupation, or business of the same nature as that involved in the work performed, which means it's not a one-off for them. A web designer doing web design is not a one-off. A web designer doing photography may be a one-off, maybe not, because, you know, websites need pictures. A web designer being an Uber driver means they are not performing the duty that they normally perform in the regular course of their work. Right? We all together? I know. I told you it was difficultly written. It just is the way that it is. So that is the ABC test. Free from control, which has always been the way with independent contractors. The thing that's hard for most gig workers, especially the YouTube creators, is outside the usual course of the hiring entity's business. So if you are a I watch a lot of YouTube, so I'm just going to rattle off some of my favorite YouTube creators. If you're a Shane Dawson, I'm not going to use Jeffree Star because I know he's got 12,000 corporations. So this, you know, doesn't apply. If you're like a Gabby Hanna or, you know, the Dolan twins or whatever, and you don't necessarily have a corporation, an LLC or a C Corp, but you hire someone to be your videographer and you hire someone to help edit videos, those people are doing what you do in business. If you are a YouTuber and you hire a videographer, they're in the same line of business. And the reason I didn't shout out other favorite YouTubers like Sean Cannell and, you know, Jessica Stansberry is because they don't live in California. So it's, yes, I love y'all YouTubers, but, you know, I love my old Wired Wednesday, Wine Wednesday crew as well. They don't live in California either. California YouTubers. You know, Casey Neistat hires someone to help edit his videos, sometimes hire somebody to help film his videos. Those people are performing a duty within the usual course of the person who's hiring them. So this is what starts to rope in things like second shooters for photographers. I mean, it's not just YouTube creators. Wedding photographers who hire a second shooter for one wedding or another now have to make that person a W-2 employee, which either is going to cause a wedding photographer burnout because they can't hire a second shooter. It's going to cause the price of wedding photos to go way up because if they take on an extra 20 to 30% overhead, which, by the way, is generally the increase when you put somebody on W-2, 20 to 30% increase in your expenses for that person in California, because now you have to pay all the payroll taxes and what have you, that is going to affect the end cost of goods. So for people like wedding photographers, they're like, I don't want to hire an employee. And the second shooter is probably like, I don't want to be an employee. Doesn't matter. There's not an exemption for that type of photographer, generally. So I would argue there is a photographer exception. We're going to talk about it in just a moment. I would argue that wedding photographers might be able to squeeze under there. Yep, that's what I would. However, we're talking about YouTubers. So there are a lot of exceptions to different industries. Lawyers are exempt. Doctors are exempt. We're going to get into all of those exemptions in part two of AB 5. But the exception that applies to photographers and photojournalists is limited. And that exception has an exemption. Stay with me. Stay with me, guys. We got this. So, under the exception that excludes some types of photographers and photojournalists, there is another subpart that says, but, don't group these people into that exception. And that is individuals who work in the motion pictures. So, the exception has an exemption that carves out anyone that works in motion pictures, including projects produced for theatrical, television, internet streaming for any device. So, YouTube, right? And then everybody's going to say, well, is YouTube really a motion picture? I'm a lawyer, so I did a lawyer thing. And I looked it all up. And guess what? The definition of motion picture in the labor code in California is any other moving images, including those created for entertainment purposes, transmitted by webcast or any other technology that is now in use. Yep. So YouTube videos are motion pictures. I know. So that means content creators who work with other parties that are helping them create their content, if those content creators are also in California, those people are now categorized as employees. And by now, I mean when this goes into effect in January 2020, which is soon to now. Oh, California. So the question that you're inevitably thinking is, what do you do about this? And does this apply to my industry? As I said, we're going to get to other industries, I promise, next episode. But there is an exception for bona fide business-to-business connections, bona fide business-to-business contracts. So if, like, company hires company, that's not an employee-employer relationship. Nor is that an independent contractor relationship. That is a business-to-business contract. But if you're sitting there going, but I'm just me, I'm not a business, but you can be. The shit of this is, though, in California, it's really expensive to incorporate. And some of you are going to think to yourselves, well, I'll just incorporate in Nevada. Isn't it cheaper to incorporate in Nevada? Here's the thing, though. If your ass is in California doing the work, you are considered a foreign corporation working in California, and you have to pay the same shit that you would have to pay if you're an LLC in California. So why stress yourself out? Because the expense is going to be the same if you're actually in California doing the work. Now, if you don't live in California and you don't have a valid reason for incorporating in California, I don't see why you would choose to do that because it's expensive. And by expensive, I mean, unlike other states, it costs about $1,000 to incorporate in California, given that there is an $800 mandatory flat tax on all corporations in California that they pay annually. So $800 no matter what. In some states like Florida, it's like, here's $20, call it a company. File a piece of paper every year and say you still are at that address. So California does, it's not just a filing fee. It's a filing fee plus the $800 flat tax. Even if your LLC or corporation makes zero money, you still owe that $800 every year. However, if you are in a position where you're either going to have to hire employees as W-2 or you're going to have to be a business, guess what? You're going to need to be a business anyway because now you're W-2ing employees, which raises your liability because now your employees can like sue you for not giving them break times and sue you for sexual harassment and file unemployment and, you know, trip and fall in your house and sue you for that. And your homeowners won't cover it because most homeowners insurance don't cover home businesses. So if you are in the position of crap, I work with people that are in my same industry. I've always paid them by contract, by project, as an independent contractor. And I think they might now be properly categorized as employees. Become a business, a proper, legit-ass business, because you're going to have to do it anyway. If you do have to hire an employee, hire the employee, be a corporation. If you're going to have a business-to-business relationship with your editor who runs their own company, you still have to be a company. And you don't just have to be a company. You have to be a company in good standing, which means you need things. What things, you're asking? You know, a business license. Yeah, that's a thing. Even if you work at home, even if it's just you, even if you're a vlogger, that's you. A business license. An EIN. A business bank account. Not just a separate account. Not a PayPal account. A business bank account. Possibly a doing business as or a fictitious business name filing, depending on what your entity is called and how you do business. Business accounting. Legal documents. Business location, business address, these types of things you will need to be a proper, legit business so that you can take advantage of a business-to-business relationship and not necessarily hire someone as a W-2 employee. I get it. It's thick. It sucks. Your head is probably spinning and you're like, what in the actual? I feel all of that. You are not the only ones freaking out. You know, larger businesses like, you know, Apple aren't working with a ton of independent contractors. If they're contracting, they're contracting with firms. But the reason they're calling it the Uber law is because it affects Uber drivers in the same way it affects YouTube creators. Uber drivers generally clock in when they want, clock out when they want. By clock in and clock out, I mean log into the app, log out of the app, work when they want, where they want, from their car. Nobody really keeps track other than to pay them what they're earning from the rides or whatever percentage they're earning from the rides. But if Uber employees now have to be employees, then they have to like have set hours and break times and meal periods. And they lose all of the flexibility of, hey, I've got like 4 hours to kill, so might as well just throw on my app and see if anybody's around that needs a ride. They lose that ability to make this a side hustle that works for their life. And I suspect in California, A, we're going to see lawsuits over this, but I suspect we'll also see the availability of Uber and Lyfts going down. We're going to see cabs kind of making a resurgence. And the price of Uber and Lyft, I imagine, will go up. And if the price doesn't go up much, I imagine that the benefits and the pay to Uber drivers will go down to minimum wage, which I don't think is a good thing. If you're an Uber driver, reach out to me on social and let me know. You can tweet at me. You can DM me on Instagram, the Emily D. Baker. I would love to know what you guys have to say about this. But all the Uber drivers I've talked to when I travel for business, and I've been traveling a lot this year, is that it's their side hustle. It's It's their, you know, little bit extra to help them get ahead. I have not talked to a single Uber driver that's like, no, Uber is my full-time gig. Everybody I've talked to has other stuff going on, and this is how they make up for the income deficit that is felt by a lot of Californians because of how expensive it is to live in this state that has very nice weather. So, my thoughts, I think it kind of sucks. I understand protecting people who are truly misclassified. However, I believe that the previous IRS test that is in every state, not California, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Connecticut, working just fine, was a better test. I think it got to the heart of who's an independent contractor and who's not. I think that if employers were grossly miscategorizing, that there is other ways for the state to handle this than to redo the test. I think there's a lot of gig workers who love the fact that they can work for Uber and work for DoorDash and work for Lyft and, you know, go home one day and work a call center. I think a lot of people are more attracted to that kind of work, or they don't have to be an employee. So they're like, hey, I can work 4 months as an Uber driver full time, and then I can go travel for 5 months. There are a lot of people that want the flexibility to work the way they want. They don't want to have to start a job and quit a job and everything that comes along with being a W-2 employee. So we'll see how this shakes out. We're going to talk deeper about the exceptions, exemptions, the industries that are carved out of this law and the industries that are impacted, Uber being one, I think creatives being another. But I'd love to hear your thoughts. So reach out to me on social. Let me know what you think about this and what other questions you have, and we'll get into it. If you're wondering if an LLC might be what you need to do, I completely get it. I'm going to put a link in the show notes for you so you can connect with me and ask about whether that's a right fit. Have a good one.